Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our weekly Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host over here, Chad Sherwood.
And I am David Griggs.
And he is David Griggs, whether you want him here or not.
I am here.
We also have Rocco Miller joining us from Bracketeer.org. And John Stalica for a first time this season on Under the Radar. John, welcome back to Under the Radar.
Stalica, welcome back, buddy.
You do our game of the day, so I guess we need you on a show, huh?
Yeah.
I had to come back just to highlight the front range.
Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, we love the front range.
Before we even get to Under the Radar, I think we want to start with a little news and notes that happened in D1 across the board here, not just among Under the Radar schools. But David, you wanted to mention this before we go into anything else.
Yeah, Division One or the NCAA going blanket waiver with D1, the D1 transfers. The only thing I can assume is that they finally got tired of the paperwork, so they just said to hell with it. Every transfer is eligible in every sport effective immediately, and I love it. And I think, and I believe you all will agree with me, the year in residency rule is all but dead.
The waiver is for this year only, first of all.
Yeah, the waiver is for this year only. The winter meetings occur in January. That's not typically when major legislation comes down, but I think it is this time. I think as early as January, it's done. And if it isn't, then it definitely will be this summer. Agree or disagree on? I think this is it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, David, and Rocco. I know you've been following this, and we've seen is pretty much every waiver that was applied for this year after about 8 weeks of consideration and sometimes an appeal was granted. So, it's kind of almost, did we really gain anything? I don't know.
There's a handful of programs that are going to gain something. There's some talent.
Just because they're waiting for waivers to come through.
Yeah, exactly. So that just really erases the wait time. And then a couple unexpected ones where guys, I think, had already planned to just sit out the year, and now all of a sudden they're going to figure out how to get them into the rotation. But by and large, yeah, we had most of it already set. I guess the only real surprise is they still haven't worked out the D2 to D1 move, which is hurting Pepperdine, which is over the radar. But I was told just recently that it has to do with the school they transferred from. It's not necessarily a rule against D2, but the D2 schools, whether it's Pepperdine or others, has to actually approve the process to move it forward. So Pepperdine's case, they're just waiting on Westchester to do that. So hopefully they get that cleared up in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Now, locally, there were actually a couple of waivers that were initially denied, like Nike Sabande, who would start for Miami University, but now is going to be immediately eligible for
Pitt. Yep.
And in Xavier Nation, for example, they're happy that Ben Stanley, who had transferred in from Hampton, was one of the nation's leading scorers, is now going to be eligible after being denied himself initially.
Yeah, and with the combination of every player who's playing this year not losing a year of eligibility, there's no reason to even hold a guy out, for redshirting purposes or anything like that, because you need him for next season and he's a senior. Doesn't matter. You'll have him next season anyhow.
Correct.
To come back.
That is correct.
And in some cases, you're also going to need healthy bodies, period.
Some schools more than others, definitely.
Yeah.
look at you, Northern Iowa. But this is our Under the Radar podcast. Stalica, now that you're back with us, why don't I have you define for everybody what it means to be under the radar?
Well, first of all, there's going to be two rules here. Number one is you can't be a member of the Power 5 conferences or the other consistent multi-bid leagues like the Big East, the American, the Atlantic 10, the West Coast Conference, the Mountain West, sponsored by ConExpo, ConATP. Yes.
Wrong year. You're a year off.
There is never a wrong year for that.
Yeah.
But the second rule is you cannot be a member of the top 25 because at that point you're considered to be on the radar.
Yes, that rule is you can't be the member. You can't have ranked in the top 25 in either the AP or the coaches poll. We went through an entire season last year without a single one of these under the radar teams from these 22 or this year 21 conferences making the top 25. And even worse, this week's polls, not a single team from any of these leagues got a single vote even in the AP poll. And only one of them, Abilene Christian, got even one vote in the coaches poll. It's trending in the wrong direction for these schools making it to the top 25. Last year and this year, which is kind of
but it's warranted. I mean, a lot of the better under-the-radar schools had cracks at big wins this year. Furman's had a couple. South Dakota State's had a couple. Western Kentucky's had a couple. For the most part, they fell flat. So I wouldn't vote for them. I love these teams and want them to do well, they're not one of the 25 best. They haven't showed that.
Could still happen. We've got more than enough undefeated teams still in these leagues that, you know, you go undefeated long enough, you're going to crack the top 25. It's just the way things work. Yeah. But let's go through. And what we like to do is start off with this show with a feature conference. And I like to surprise you guys with it, although it may not be too big of a surprise what conference we're going to start with this week. Although it did suffer a couple of losses, close losses, tough losses. That's kind of one of the reasons I want to focus on it. Because
it's a blank screen, Chad.
Because as it comes up here, we should be getting to the Southern Conference. Yeah. Is it there?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And I want to focus in on the SoCon as our feature conference this week because, yeah, Furman came up short against Alabama. Mercer came up short tonight against Western Carolina. Samford came up short against Georgia. But these were all even close games. And Rocco, let me start with you. East Tennessee State, UAB, another close one we had this week. We're seeing a lot of life out of this conference, even if they haven't picked up the big wins yet.
Yeah, I think it's a continuation of what we saw last year and the year before. This is a good 3+ year run for the league. I even think the middle of the league's getting stronger and stronger. Chattanooga is still undefeated. They held on against Asheville today. You've got, Mercer got revenge gamed a little bit by Georgia State, but we've seen what they can do against Georgia Tech and beating everybody else. Wofford is a very capable team, even in Wofford's losses, as you said. They are right there until the end. Losing at the end there in Atlanta against South Florida, and we saw South Florida beat Cincinnati tonight. So,
How about Wofford's win over a Coastal Carolina team last night? That was a very
– Yeah, and that's another under-the-radar tough team. So, I think if you look from top to bottom, Furman's clearly still the favorite, I think, but unfortunately couldn't get the big win. You got Mercer right there. Greensboro's been really the only disappointment. They're still puttering along, but I think at some point they'll figure it out. Samford is a real wild card. They lost it tonight, but they show up in the most random spots. They're going to knock somebody off this year. It's just going to blow us away. So, you can't take VMI for granted. It's a great league. I love it.
Yeah, a couple of teams.
Wait, David, don't forget the undefeated Citadel team.
Oh, yes. The Citadel, I was going to say, well, like they're 5-0, 1-0 against D1, and they beat them.
That was North Carolina A&T also.
A&T. Two teams that I kind of want to pull up here since we have that technology. One was Greensboro, and one is Chattanooga. Can we get those on the screen here? Okay. Chattanooga unbeaten, but pretty much untested, but still
I got to type. I'm a little slow, so keep talking.
Okay. There's UNC, Greensboro, there's Chattanooga. We're pulling them up here. This is great television, better
David,
radio
you gotta
if you're listening.
You got to cue me in a little in advance here. We're going slow. It's loading.
Okay, yeah, it still hasn't loaded. Okay, but so again, we've got UNC, Greensboro playing a little bit better. When you look at their losses, they have this game against Elon coming up. Elon, I think they lost today, but still really good. So they've got a lot of winnable games, and I still think they're going to end up with a big record. Then you got this Chattanooga team where, yeah, they're unbeaten, but Bellarmine might be the best team that they've actually beaten.
I like the road win at Middle Tennessee. They've got a real good game coming up at UAB just because Middle Tennessee beat Murray State earlier this year.
Yeah.
A quick correction, Elon actually won tonight over Campbell by 10.
Okay, Yeah, so Elon's still undefeated, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so again, so that's a nice one coming up for Greensboro. But Chattanooga, UAB coming up. Now, both of those teams have been going to the bakery, but neither have lost yet. Assuming UAB beat Texas Southern tonight, I think they did.
UAB did beat Southern, not
Southern.
Texas
Southern, excuse
Texas,
me.
Different team, but I'm going to pull up here, if it'll load. I don't know. David really screwed up the screens already tonight.
I have ruined Hoops HD.
Sleek, we already mentioned
that. We are shutting down for COVID because of me.
Sleek, we already mentioned the big Chattanooga UAB game, but what else are you looking forward to? Again, assuming these games even happen because who knows with the way that this season has been going.
I think you have to go to a Saturday right here because Furman going to Winthrop, that's going to be a big interstate matchup right there.
That's a great game.
And Battle of the Undefeateds going on in Birmingham. We got Chattanooga at UAB.
Yep.
That's a huge one. Citadel looking to remain undefeated with a trip to Longwood. They could definitely win that one. And then it's Presbyterian. This could be the team of the season here, the Citadel.
Yeah, it could be. And then East Tennessee State going to Alabama in what would have been a fantastic game 12 months ago.
Yeah, 12 months ago. This East Tennessee State team, not quite as good as they were last year, just by about 200 spots or so in the net. Yeah. I would estimate once those numbers come out. Let's kind of jump back to the rest of the conference here in alphabetical order. Sleeka, let me start with you as we jump over to the America East, though, which – still has four teams that haven't played a game, including the conference favorite Vermont and maybe an NJIT team who is new to the conference. I don't know what we want to say. There are only four games you've played in all this league this week.
Well, if this were 12 months ago, we would say this would just be because of a final exams, but because of COVID, those are going to be even more staggered right here. So, again, Vermont's going to be the main program we're going to be keeping eyes on here.
Yeah, and we finally have some games here scheduled, including, I think, David, I see Vermont is allegedly supposed to start playing this week. But
I'll believe it when I see it. They're playing UMass Lowell, which is a game they should win. I really do like this Vermont team. I would love for them to actually be able to play. But a team we got to mention is one that actually has played, and that's UMBC. I think you got to kind of keep an eye on them. I don't think they're as good as Vermont, but they might be good enough to be better than everyone else to keep pace with Vermont, if that makes sense. And then, they get two cracks at them and one's at home.
I see it up there three times, but I know they're not playing three times at Lowell. So,
because they're playing four times.
Yeah. Four times at Lowell. Is that true?
That cannot be correct.
Is that the schedule, or is that just messed up there?
It's Monday, Tuesday. That's it.
Okay. So the Saturday, Sunday games got postponed. They are now the Monday, Tuesday games.
Is Vermont going to get any out-of-conference games?
So if you look at the Vermont schedule, they moved those games up just because they were cleared to play. So they were going to play those in February. So both Vermont and Lowell have 2 weeks off in early February If we're really lucky and they play all their scheduled games through January, they'll have 2 weeks to find non-league games. But then you got to find teams from other leagues that are available.
Yeah.
But there is a window.
Okay.
There is a window. All right. Rocco, let me stick with you as we jump over to the Atlantic Sun, where I still think the story so far in this conference has been this Liberty team.
Absolutely.
Which has played an amazing 10 games already. Is that correct?
I think they've played a handful of non-D1s.
Yeah, right? They've played three non-D1s, but 10 games overall now. That is got to be leading the nation.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've got to be leading the nation, especially if we're counting those. But this Flames team, they've already showed what they can do. They beat a couple of SEC teams early on. Even Missouri, like last week, who's now a ranked team, a very high-ranked team, and beat Illinois. They had Missouri on the ropes for a good 30 minutes or so, and then Missouri started shutting down Liberty, and they got a little ugly late, and they lost. But, I mean, this is not a team you want to see in the tournament if they're a 14 or a 13 or wherever they land, if they can secure the auto bid. I think they're a very legit team. Also, I think it's important that we give a tip of the cap to the Dunk City Eagles.
Dunk City.
Yes, a huge upset over injury-laden Miami, but still, that's a huge jump up in weight class to get that win. Heck of a performance by the Eagles over the weekend.
Miami only has eight players that are scheduled to be out for the next game, so that's it, just eight. With the game, David.
It became an even bigger upset when Florida Gulf Coast lost tonight to FIU. Widening the gap even more between themselves and Miami. So congrats to the
I think they partied a little too hard after that.
Yeah, this is Liberty's conference. It really is. This is a good Flames team. The one thing I'll disagree with Rocco on, I would love to see Liberty in the NCAA tournament. I would love to see anybody in the NCAA tournament just once before I die.
Stalika. Crowley's Ridge College, both at North Alabama and at Lipscomb this week. A big week for Crowley's Ridge against the A-Sun.
Yep, and we've already highlighted Crowley's Ridge at least once and under the radar this year, but I'm not sure we'll be doing that again.
We got to get them together with Toccoa Falls.
You do see Jacksonville at Miami there on Saturday, if that game happens. I don't know if Miami's even going to be able to field a team at this point, but if it does happen, maybe keep an eye on that one if Miami's still so shorthanded. David, over in the Big Sky Conference, we saw Eastern Washington give St. Mary's a game last night, but the very end, St. Mary's was able to pull that one out.
Yeah, Eastern Washington is just sort of an interesting case. They're 0-4 against D1 competition, but they've got to be one of the better 0-4 teams in the history of Division One. You know, they've played a tough schedule. They've played some good teams pretty tough, but haven't actually gotten a win yet. So I still think that while it's been disappointing that they haven't been able to get any, they've shown signs of life to be as good or better than anyone in the conference. Northern Colorado was a team that I really liked that was just blown to bits by was it Colorado the other night?
Colorado, 81-45, yeah.
Yeah, and again, you weren't really expecting them to win that game, but I don't think we were expecting them to lose 81-45. The story of the league, though, I still think, while they didn't really play this week, is Southern Utah.
They did not play this week, but Southern Utah, off to that strong 4-1 start. Stalica, you know, if you look at it, I mean, this week was, you know, there were no D1 wins out of this conference this week.
That we've got five total D1 wins, and if I count, there are eight teams without a D1 win, including Idaho.
Six total D1 wins, half of them possessed by Southern Utah.
No, six, excuse me.
Stalica, well, Southern Utah getting Dixie State coming up on Thursday night, possibly, who knows, with some of these schedules. But
I think we also have to look at one of our other notable schools that was highlighted in the email thread yesterday, and that's SAJU American Indian College had a game against Grand Canyon postponed, but they will at least have Idaho State and Southern Utah on their schedule.
I think a couple of those games are off also. I think it's the American Indian College actually that has the COVID outbreak, Rocco, right?
That is correct. Yeah. So those games are gone, unfortunately.
A sentence I never ever thought I'd hear uttered, even on Under the Radar, prior to this year. It's the American Indian College that has the.
Well, credit to Grand Canyon for getting the word out, and they totally pointed the finger at SAGU, American Indian College.
Rocco, anything that you are looking forward to in this league that might actually get played this week?
Yeah, I mean, anybody that Montana State plays, I thought I saw they had some games coming, but maybe they're – okay,
Wazoo. Yeah.
That was the one. That's the one I'm looking forward to. Montana State, start of the year, went to UNLV, shocked them, won by double digits in Vegas, came back, played Pacific, lost in overtime. They've got a really fun team, shoot the ball very well in the couple games we got to see so far, and now they're ready to get back on the court with Wazoo, who – plays everybody down to the wire. So I would just get your popcorn ready for the last couple minutes there.
Stalica, over in the Big South Conference, should be coming up on the screen any second now. We've been talking a bit about this Winthrop team, who is now 4-0, including a pair of conference wins already.
Yeah, and this is going to be another conference where you're going to see some back-to-backs right here. Now, in this case, all three teams that played the back-to-backs, they swept them. So in the case of Winthrop, they go on the road against USC Upstate, but hardly unexpected. And then UNC Asheville and Radford were the other big winners, although Radford did have to struggle a little bit in their first leg against Longwood.
Yeah, they did. David, anything else that you've seen out of this conference so far? I mean, Campbell, I guess, just suffered their first loss of the season tonight in that game we already mentioned to Elon.
Yeah, against Elon, I had the result wrong, but not really. I this is always kind of a fun league. Normally, like, you see two games separating first and last place. That's normally the range, it seems, that this conference has played in all season long. A lot of parity out there. But Winthrop, it's Winthrop and everybody else. I mean, that's what it kind of looks like to me right now.
Yeah, and Rocco, look at the upcoming schedule. We already mentioned the Furman-Winthrop game. That may be the only game worth watching on this schedule here, if you look at it.
Yeah, I think I liked what I saw out of Asheville's effort in Chattanooga tonight. I'm still trying to figure out what they bring to the table, but I like their coach a lot, McTevitt. He came from Middle Tennessee, so we'll see. But
tough task at Marshall though on Tuesday. Yeah. That's their game.
Yeah, that's a tough task. So yeah, we'll see. There's a lot to be determined. I do know that USC Upstate is not very good.
You know, USC Upstate is not very good. 0-7 already.
If Lee Delvecchio was here, we'd spend 20 minutes on why USC Upstate is not very good. But we will be moving on to the Big West.
We'll move on to the Big West. Rocco, you are a West Coast guy here. Where congratulations to Hawaii. They got to 1-0, which is all they'll be until conference play starts. They beat Hawaii Pacific. But what about the rest of this league here?
Well, I think we got to start with the Matadors. Just an incredible win. Totally took me off guard at Pepperdine. TJ Starks transferred over from Texas A&M. He was the point guard there last year. And he was really inefficient at A&M, turned the ball over a lot. He played the best game of his life, I think, in the Pepperdine game, scored 24, career high, spread the ball around. And, you know, even yesterday against Stanford, they played a really solid first half. I think they're down 3 at the break, stayed competitive throughout. So I think we have another good story here in the Big West. We already know about Riverside. Unfortunately, Riverside's on a pause right now. They had a couple cases come up. And I think outside of that, you know, it's Santa Barbara's probably still the team to beat.
Yes, Santa Barbara, I guess they didn't play this past week either. Are they on a pause also, or is this just a schedule?
They played the rubber match with Loyola.
They did, you're right.
Yeah, now they got Pepperdine on Saturday, which is the same place that Northridge just won. So we'll see.
This is another league like the America East that's just having trouble even getting on the court.
Yeah,
lot of the teams.
Yeah, so on that note, UC San Diego announced that they will not play their inaugural D1 year, and UC Davis is still in a really tough situation with their county. They just had to cancel 2 more games today, so the game coming up with Sacramento State will not happen, and they had another one next week that's already called off. So they're in a really tough spot, UC Davis.
Yeah, there goes the William Jessup game, David. How disappointed are you?
Very. And again, it's just unfortunate that the America East and the Big West are about as geographically far apart as you could possibly be. Because in February, a lot of these schools are going to be looking for games.
Oh, heck, I'll do it. Let's arrange it here. It's better than playing Life Pacific at San Diego Christian 500.
Right. Yeah.
Salika, let's jump over to the Colonial Athletic Association, where – we mentioned, again, we've mentioned about the fifth time already. Elon won tonight, unlike David said, and they're now 3-0, undefeated.
That's going to be nice to see Elon up there for a little bit of time at least, and then William and Mary. A little bit of an up-and-down game at George Washington, but actually came back from a double-digit deficit and ended up winning in overtime come Monday night.
Yeah, and some of the other stories here, David Drexel suffering
a disastrous loss to an awful LaSalle team. Yeah, and this is a team that's – I mean, it has looked good at times, but not this week. Holy crap.
Yeah, and Rocco, the other story here, Northeastern finally starting, actually getting 3 games and splitting with UMass and then losing tonight to Syracuse.
Very, very impressed with Northeastern.
I am too. Go ahead, Rocco. I just wanted to back up. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, because I watched pretty much the full game and the opener because it was them and UMass. It was their opener, and you didn't know anything about either team. So it's kind of exciting to watch that. UMass just, you know, really took over the game, and Mitchell over there is by far the best player on the court. But for Northeastern to bounce back from that and then beat them 2 days later was just amazing. And then today they were in there with Syracuse, giving them all kinds of fits throughout the game. It was the exact kind of game that Bill Cohen was, you know, looking for at the onset. He's a fantastic coach. Northeastern was picked as low as 8th by some people this year, and they I would be shocked if they finished that low.
Yeah, some people, including us. not Rocco. He, to his credit, he said he liked them. But, yeah, 8th is about where I thought they'd be. Not anymore.
A couple of interesting games this week, though. Coach. Yeah, yeah. Saturday, Elon is hosting Greensboro, a team that we mentioned at the top of the show, has looked beatable this year. Yes. And Northeastern at Georgia, very interesting game coming up on Tuesday night. If that game gets played, a very beatable Georgia team.
It really is, yeah.
Could be a big win for Northeastern.
Also keep an eye on Hofstra, who may be auditioning for future Atlantic 10 membership with games at St. Bonaventure in Richmond.
Yeah.
If they happen.
Yeah.
If they happen. David, Conference USA, UAB, it's not on the screen actually, is actually now up to 8-0 with a win tonight over Southern University.
Yeah, a big pastry cart here for UAB. East Tennessee State, earlier we touched on how much they've struggled. UAB went there and won, but it was a sweat. So is part
I'm sorry, they are only the game is on the screen, so 7-0 is the correct record. I apologize.
Well, yeah, but either way, the point is the same. Okay, so 6-0 D1 opponents. Yeah. They have not been tested. And Andy Kennedy, I think he's a real good coach. I don't want to kick dirt on UAB. I just don't think that I'm as excited about them as a couple other teams in this league, typically, namely Western Kentucky. And while they went down the night against a team that I really thought they would beat, Marshall, still really good, trailed Toledo for a lot of the game, fought back to force overtime and appeared to have all the momentum in the world going into overtime, but couldn't get over the top. Some other teams with bloated records, Rice, but not really tested. La Tech, 5-2, they've got a couple good wins. So all in all, top to bottom, this league pretty solid, but I still think WKU is the class of this conference.
Right, and Rocco, WKU did have a nice win on Sunday over Rhode Island.
They did, yeah. And that was another wire-to-wire battle. Both teams really needed it to stay in the hunt for the at-large conversation, and WKU prevailed. And WKU, I think, had a little bit better resume than Rhode Island anyway, but Rhode Island did have a couple decent wins in Connecticut, so a road win at WKU would have helped them. So that was an intriguing battle. But I agree, and now WKU gets to go down to Tuscaloosa on Saturday, so that will be a fascinating matchup as well.
They should win that one. Credit to Alabama and Nate Oates scheduling some really good, not just under the radar teams, but good under the radar teams. Western Kentucky, Furman. Yeah. Basically, I think he watches this show. He just goes down the top 10 and picks who out to play.
Salika, we see the upcoming schedule there, and we do see that WKU at Alabama game. I don't even see Marshall on the schedule after their game today. I don't know when the next game.
Marshall ended up losing at Toledo.
Yeah. No, they lost at home to Toledo.
Yeah, their next game, they actually have UNC Asheville coming to Marshall on Tuesday, is what
Okay, that game is not – there it is. Actually, there it is. It's UNC Asheville at Marshall. We've also got UAB, Sleek, with a pair of interesting games, hosting Chattanooga, who's undefeated, and then hosting Georgia Tech on Wednesday next week.
Yep, it's certainly going to be an interesting case for UAB, who I don't think has been consistently good since Jared Haas took off for Stanford.
Right, but let me stick with you, jump over to the Horizon League, which is kind of in your neck of the woods there in Ohio, especially with this Wright State team who is sitting here 2-1, but it was a blowout win at what we thought was a pretty good Bowling Green team this week.
Well, Wright State has actually been a little schizo because they actually got blown out at home by Kent State. But winning handily at Bowling Green is certainly going to help offset that a little bit. And then you're also looking at a team like Youngstown State trying to figure out, are they going to be for real? I mean, they get one D1 win, one non-D1 win, so at least they're holding serve in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, the power of beating West Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and how about Binghamton right out of that game? But I was really impressed with Wright State. They were blown off the court in their first game, but they've looked pretty good in their last two, especially their last one. They were the preseason favorites to win the league. I still like them more than anyone else I've seen. Yeah, that you've seen a lot of these teams other than Oakland. A lot of schools, again, having trouble finding the court against D1 teams.
I've got to say, Rocco, Oakland, 0-7. If games were only 20 minutes long, they'd be 7-0, wouldn't they?
I think actually, the first couple games of the year were not pretty. Those were over before they started. But maybe
how was that
the
strength of schedule only 24? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, good question, John. Glad you jumped in. That's an amazing question. The only game they've played outside of the KenPom top 100 is Bradley, and they're 119. That's close enough.
Yeah, we'll take a closer look at that. I mean, we'll get those updated by next week. You know, it's so difficult with so many teams haven't played to even calculate things like strength of schedules at this
point. Right, and it might not know that some of those teams are really good yet, because strength of schedule is basic. It's just your opponent's records.
Yeah. I think we also have to shout out to Detroit Mercy, who has actually reached out to us that they'd be branded as such, and they got their first win of the year at Western Michigan.
Yeah, next year they'll want to be called Detroit.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, they're hosting Wright State for a pair this weekend, yeah, too.
And kudos to Hoops HD, who's a little bit more on top of it than Ken Pomeroy. Ken Pomeroy still just says Detroit.
I don't know if we're more on top of it. I just don't think Ken cares, which what should he? Yeah.
Well, they're getting angry about it. I got a message from them, too, from Hoops HD.
Oh,
there's a campaign going on.
David, your conference is up.
All right, the Ivy League. I hold the grades from five of these institutions. Unfortunately, none of them playing this year.
Sleeka, Metro Atlantic Conference, another conference that I guess only Siena left still without games. But we did see actually a fair amount of conference play this week getting underway. And St. Peter's now 2-0 with a pair of wins over Niagara.
Yeah, and also noteworthy that St. Peter's was the only team that actually won both games against Niagara, because you had everyone else splitting the games, including Iona, Ryder. I mean, also keep in mind, Monmouth, they just had a home loss to Hofstra, but at least they're finally starting to play some games this year as well.
Yeah,
I want to see Siena play, because I think they're going to be good. But we don't know. They haven't played.
Rocco, I got them on the schedule for Friday. Is that going to happen?
I think it's going to be Tuesday at Drexel, but I think that yours is might be more up to date now, because I think they moved something up, but I'll check on that.
Yeah, I got them potentially playing Canisius for a pair of games this weekend. We will find out if that really happens or not. Hopefully it does.
Yeah, and chances are, again, in February with DePaul, the Big West, and the America East, Siena going to have to play some games.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that, John. I was just going to say, Siena Canisius did move theirs back to the – they are going to go 26th and 27th right after Christmas. But Siena does have a game Tuesday as well to tune up for that at Drexel.
I'm going to say, remember the name Jalen Pickett. I promise you will not be disappointed when you see him in a Siena uniform.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's good.
Rocco, the Mid-American Conference, this conference has gone – you know, I think everybody has at least two games, and now that Akron finally got started with powerful wins over the likes of Cedarville,
they lost to the Bonnies
in
Cleveland. Yeah, I think overall the majority of the league I'm pretty intrigued by. You know, Northern Illinois is really weighing the league down there in the 300 neighborhood, but and Miami, Ohio had a pretty ugly loss to Buffalo, but. You've seen good things out of Buffalo. You've seen Toledo get a big win tonight. We've seen and been really impressed with Ohio. Bowling Green still has Turner, and you know, Ball State can hang with anybody. I think there's a lot of depth, and I'm intrigued by Kent State as well. So, with six or seven solid teams mixing it up, I think there's going to be some good ball to watch.
Yeah, very nice win, David. Kent State over Northern Kentucky by almost 20 points by 19.
Yeah, and I agree with Rocco, and that's kind of typical of this league. It's really hard for anybody to run away from it. Even when Buffalo finished in the top 25 and was way in the top half of the bracket, they still lost two or three conference games. This is a league with a lot of rivals, and it's rare that you see anybody run away with it.
Right. And Sleeko, we got to talk Toledo now after what they did winning in Marshall tonight.
Well, Toledo's kind of been an off and on team right here. They've shown some flashes during the beginning of the season at Xavier, where they got out to an early double-digit lead and were unable to hold on. So they certainly have the potential, and they showed it earlier tonight in a shootout at Marshall.
The upcoming schedule in this league, again, if these games happen, we've got some conference play, some non-conference play. I guess Buffalo at Syracuse, that might be a little bit.
Defiance. I'm assuming that's Defiance, Ohio. Had no idea there was a school there.
I guess so. Defiance at Miami, Ohio. Buffalo going to Syracuse in the who knows if these games will be played. let's just
Buffalo Bonnies, Big Four game.
David.
Yes.
Missouri Valley.
Okay.
Buffalo Bonnies is not a Big Four game. The Big Four. Oh, is the Bonnies the fourth game of the Big Four? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it is.
You're right. You're right. It's Canisius and Niagara and Buffalo and Bonnies. Yeah.
Okay,
right.
That's not the Missouri Valley, but okay.
Okay, let's do the MEAC instead of the Missouri Valley. How's that?
Okay, so the MEAC against D1, again, Norfolk State probably really
well,
the only
Can we talk about FAMU this week, though? Going to Austin P.T. that we thought was pretty good at winning by 6 points on the road last night.
I'd rather not point out how good I thought Austin P.T. was.
Yeah,
and FAMU winning on the road again. We're seeing teams win on the road that never went on the road, or anywhere, or at home.
Yeah, I mean, not a bad week. They get a win over Greensboro by Coppin State, and FAMU's win at Austin Peay. That's one of the better weeks in MEAC history, Rocco, isn't it?
I think so.
That's not UNC Greensboro, is it?
Yes, it was.
It was. Yeah.
Oh.
Coppin beat the Spartans. That's right.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, this FAMU team has been pretty interesting. They've been everywhere. They went to Oregon, to Oklahoma, to Georgia, and now to Austin Peay. And, you know, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, they had Georgia scared with about 8 minutes to go. I think they had a lead. So they've been knocking on the door, and Austin Peay was ripe for that. They've been stumbling for a while, and I think the writing was on the wall when the Rattlers came to town. So, yeah, I think there's some improvement. I do think NC Central and Norfolk are going to be the two leaders, and we'd love to see Maker get back on the court for Howard by next year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and just a note here, the MEAC did revise its conference schedule. They are now doing the double-up conference schedule. So many other conferences are doing where you play two games of back-to-back nights at the same site against the same team. So revised conference schedule did come out for the MEAC this week. Stalika, I'll give you the Missouri Valley Conference that I meant to give to David. How about talking about 6-0 Drake, 3-0 Southern Illinois, 0-0 Missouri State? Where you want to go?
I think we're going to look at the upside here and take a look at Drake, who actually did get a nice home win against Air Force right here. And if you're looking at a team like Loyola Chicago, they do get a nice cross-county win against Illinois Chicago.
And David, I was actually impressed. I mean, they lost by 14 technically to Wisconsin. I think that Loyola played very well in that game as well.
Yeah, they did. And that was something that was Whiskey didn't really open it up until the final minutes of that game. Loyola was right in there. So I was really impressed with them. I know you talked about Drake a little bit. They need to lift some weight. You don't want to dog a team for being unbeaten, but they haven't really beaten anybody that makes you think, oh, man, this team is good.
Yeah, and Rocco, heading into the season, we love this Northern Iowa team. We were talking about as at-large worthy, potentially. Very, very bad start to the season. Had a lot of injuries, and now they're shut down until conference play.
Yeah, and A.J. Green out for the season just came out as well. Preseason Valley Player of the Year, and I think reigning Valley Player of the Year. That's a huge blow. But I still think they have a good nucleus of players. I still think they'll finish in the top half of the league. They also had an A-10 player transfer in. I don't want to guess the school and be wrong, so I won't do that. I just know he's an A-10 guy that was pretty productive. With the new ruling today, he's going to be eligible right away, and it's a team that needs him. So, you know, we'll hang out until December 27th and see how they do against Missouri State. And speaking of the Bears, welcome back. You beat William Jewell by 9 tonight. Congrats.
Oh, yes. Screen is – it's not yet on the screen, but, yes, that game has gone final since we started. 1-0, non-D1 win for Missouri State. Congratulations to them. We've got the upcoming schedule. Drake, a trip to South Dakota, a home game against Chicago State, and a home game against North Dakota. So they could be 9-0 next week.
They will be 9-0. Those are really, really weak teams.
We'll talk about South Dakota a little bit here when we get to the Summit League because they had an interesting week, but we're still a few conferences away from that. But, David, I want to stick with you and jump over to the Northeast Conference, one of our favorite leagues. Well into conference play, more games going on today with Long Island, Bryant, and Central Connecticut. Central Connecticut's picking up yet another conference win here today, 2-2
in league play. And look at the parity. Look at all the teams. Yeah, well, I don't know. But yeah,
everybody's within you know, a game and a half of first place.
It is. And I mean, how amazing is that? I mean, granted, we've only played between one and two games, but still, you know, some good stuff there. And again, just Central Connecticut going out and getting the win. It's just it just goes to show you that you just never know what's going to happen in this league.
Well, they've played one league team so far. They played four games against SFBK, and that's all they've played, just the way these conference schedules are going. Very interesting schedule. I've never seen that before. So, two teams of the same conference play each other four times by the middle of December. Rocco, welcome to 2020, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think, you know, what I was thinking about the other day is, you know, every day we're getting at least one of these games or multiple, and you know, it's between teams that are like 500 or even over 500. When we usually get to NEC play, these teams are like 2-11, 0-13, 4-7, you know, all those types of just terrible records. And you kind of look at the schedule and you're like, oh God, those teams are crappy. And it's the last little.
Oh, no. Well, we never do that with this conference.
No, we don't. But I mean, I actually think with the NEC starting this early, it makes these games even more intriguing because you can't like go out and say they're bad quite yet, even if you were, you know, completely oblivious to the NEC. And I think it's a good idea of going forward. Like there's going to be a lot of learnings through the 2020 process. This could be one of them where maybe we do a series or two in December every year with the NEC just to get more eyeballs on it. I'm certainly paying closer attention and I would pay attention anyway, but this is like getting me to actually like watch it over bigger teams. I think it's working.
Yeah, and if you look at those upcoming games, I think most of those games have already been rescheduled. The NEC is juggling the schedule like crazy here, which good for them actually. You know, get the teams you can. You got Merrimack still shut down; they can't even play yet. So,
yeah.
Stalika, how about the Ohio Valley Conference? Where actually, before I even get to you, I want to give a shout out here over to Eastern Illinois, where Max Smith for Eastern Illinois tied Illinois' Corey Bradford's NCAA record for consecutive games with a three-pointer made at 88 this week. So congratulations to him. He will
that
have
is
a shot
trivia.
We'll have a shot to break that next week. So Eastern Illinois, keep an eye on their game. We can have NCAA history next week. But Slika, besides the Panthers, what else you got going on in this league?
I would also like to congratulate Eastern Kentucky and Moorhead State for actually playing four times within a calendar year. Now, granted, this is over two seasons right here. But in the case of Moorhead, you've got to be thinking, okay, you at least got one win at home, but they really should have had two when you consider they got out to the big lead at Eastern Kentucky, but let that one get away the week prior.
As far as
the class of the league, like Murray State, I was just blown away with how good they looked against Austin Peay. That became a little more troubling when you saw how good Florida A&M looked against Austin Peay. It kind of raises the question, what the hell is wrong with Austin Peay? They appeared to have all the pieces in place. I think Figger's a pretty good coach. He seems to have done well there. How did they go off the rails? I mean, this is a team that we all thought, I think, would be in the running with Murray and Belmont. Murray, I still think they're going to be pretty good. They haven't quite hit their stride yet, but, you know, are we expecting it to be a two-horse race again between Murray and Belmont?
Rocco, what do you think?
I'm thinking so. You know, there's some really good stories trying to peak. It was going to be Austin Peay. Now they're in deep trouble. It was going to be Eastern Illinois, but they've fell on their face too many times now. And
it'll be Eastern Kentucky.
Eastern Illinois is undefeated in conference. And what? And we got it. There's the game coming up Monday night for the record there, by the way, at Edwardsville.
And I think even SEMO has like been much better than I thought. They're going to overtime, it feels like, every game. Nobody's on the level of Belmont and Murray that we can like back up. And I do think Belmont's just a notch above. But, you know, they depend so much on shooting that if they go cold, they can lose in the OVC tournament to any of these teams.
Yeah, true.
Tennessee Martin, we got to mention them. They are undefeated, but of course, the only thing happened with Anthony Stewart. Now his son has transferred to Indiana, is my understanding, if I'm correct.
Okay. That's correct. Yeah, Parker. Yeah.
Parker Stewart has now transferred to Indiana. So, but they are 2-0. They got a couple more games coming up that potentially are coming up this week. Where are we going now? How about David? How about the Patriot League? How about the games we saw on this conference this week?
What a week in the Patriot League.
Okay, and I could give Sleeka the upcoming week of the Patriot League. You ready, Sleeka? What do you think about these upcoming games that should be showing up on the screen there any second now? There you go.
I think we should be talking about Army actually getting to host Navy at Mikey Stadium. Wrong sport again.
Wrong sport. Dave, let me go back to you again. Let's jump over to the Southland Conference.
Yeah, and in February, we're going to be skiing a lot of Big West, America East, DePaul, and, I mean, here's the Southland. Okay.
How about the Southland
There's
Conference?
One team that I like, and that's really it.
Abilene Christian, they are there now at, where are we, 6-1 now. Stephen F. Austin, suffered a loss to Louisiana Monroe.
That is not – the Surgeon General does not recommend such things.
And let me put it with that little perspective. Tonight, Louisiana Monroe lost at home to Grambling, a SWAC team.
Okay, a bad SWAC team, we think. But I don't know. Abilene Christian, 4-1 against D1 opponents, the one loss at Texas Tech, a game they were in really with less than a minute to go, they were in a position to possibly win that game. I think that they're for real. I don't think anyone else in the league is close to them. Like we saw with SFA in the past, I think that they might have to sweat out a couple games and they might even stub their toes. But this is an Abilene Christian team that we could see with 23, 24, 25 D1 wins by the end of the year. I just don't think anybody in this league can beat them.
Rocco, you agree with that? I mean, I kind of do, but you got anything else you want to take away from this league?
Yeah, I think, especially after everything we've seen, Abilene Christian's the clear favorite. I don't know that they can run the table in the league. It's always a tough league to navigate. I still see them maybe losing once or twice, especially going, all over the heart of the Southland. But, I guess a team that is really easy to overlook right now is Central Arkansas. They're 0-6, but look at all
yes.
the teams.
Yes, I am overlooking them. Please explain.
They've played Memphis, St. Louis, Arkansas, Mississippi, Mississippi State, and Little Rock. I mean, all those teams except Little Rock are top 100, and Little Rock they lost 2-3. So even though they're 0-6, they're still the fourth best KenPom team. And so I think, we don't know what they can do against these Southland caliber schools. Could be interesting. Nichols State also trying to hang around. I don't know. I don't think anybody's on Abilene's level, as we've said. But one last shout out goes to Lamar for the buzzer beating shot.
Yes, that was great.
Unbelievable. Another UL Monroe game.
Lamar with the buzzer beater win over Louisiana Monroe on an extremely poorly run final offensive play that ended up with a shot from almost half court that went in to win the game for him. But it was a badly run play that they locked out, in my opinion. What an interesting game on the schedule coming up next Tuesday, Abilene Christian at Arkansas.
Can't wait.
That could be a good one. That could be really
– That could be a good one, yeah.
Sleeka, over in the SWAC, we mentioned Grambling's big win tonight at the aforementioned Louisiana Monroe team.
Yep, and the other thing we have to keep track on is do they have their obligatory 10 road wins in non-conference play yet?
Well, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, was that 6 D1
yeah,
wins already?
Yeah, way ahead of pace.
5 D1 wins. I can't even count. Sleeka, how are we going on the 3-bid SWAC? We're struggling on that a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, I think the plan was get Texas Southern at the top of the league. You may want to get preview up.
Yeah, Texas Southern lost to Auburn did not help us at all.
Alabama A&M went to Samford and won, and I guess they've decided to call it quits. Like, you might as well quit when you're ahead.
Both A&M and Alabama State, Rocco, I think are both on COVID shutdown, aren't they? Although it looks like Alabama A&M might be coming out of it this week.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to host South Alabama this Saturday, which is a big home game for the Bulldogs.
I actually see Alabama State there on Monday, potentially, at North Alabama.
Might
be true.
I think that – no, that one got scrapped because Alabama State's announced that they are doing no non-conference games this year, much like UC San Diego. Their opener will be January 2nd, so that was a late scratch.
So go ahead and scratch that one off the list there. That's not going to happen. Texas Southern at BYU, if it happens.
That's on schedule.
Could be an interesting game.
Yeah. Southern going to Cal Baptist, Pine Bluff. This is just kind of like
let me go back to Rocco then as we move over to the Summit League. And and Rocco, this was the this was the Dakota Showcase Week. They weren't conference games, right, but we saw six games that were, if you know, looking, watching these six games that happened in the Dakotas between the two North Dakota and the two South Dakota teams, the round robin. If this is what we get for the conference season, this is going to be a fun conference season in the Summit League.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we get to see usually at least a combination of these four schools, if not more, in each conference tournament at the Pentagon. So why not just have them do a early season Royal Rumble like this? Because it was awesome. Like, and the strangest result clearly is the Coyotes getting after their rival, the Jackrabbits.
I was floored.
Yeah, I mean, the Coyotes lost their first two games to North Dakota, North Dakota State, teams more in their weight class. And then they take on, you know, South Dakota State, who had won their first two, and they beat them by 13.
It wasn't even that. I mean, they were up by 22, I want to say, with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like you throw the window records out the window when these two get together. That's all I learned.
I guess so. Good God. Yeah, but really – And again, you want to applaud the Yotes, but I mean, kind of a damaging, you know, toe stub here for a South Dakota State team who we think is good enough to get inside the bubble, but what is their margin for error now, or is there one at all?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, the loss, that's their one bad loss. Their good wins are Utah State, Iowa State, and Bradley. I mean, Utah State and Iowa State are in a pretty deep hole right now. Bradley could play their way back into to a really good win, but that's it. I mean, South Dakota State's going to have to probably run the table in the league and do it with really impressive style points. They'll get two more games against South Dakota at least, so they can prove they're better than them.
I'll tell you what, Stalika, the one team that I was probably most impressed with after you had this event was North Dakota State, who got their first two wins of the season by beating both North Dakota and South Dakota, and only lost by two to the Jackrabbits. You know, this is a North Dakota State team that even though they're only 2-5, has played pretty well so far this season.
Well, at least played well, at least as far as the Summit League goes right here.
Yeah, I do like this North Dakota State team. One score not on the screen there, Oral Roberts, one extra win. They lost to Oklahoma tonight. That game did not quite make the screen before we started the show. But upcoming schedule, Stalika, let me stick with you. Is there anything that you're looking that really sticks out for you here in what might be coming this week in this conference?
All that matters for Oral Roberts is they got bacon last night, so all is good.
Yeah, the other North Dakota State game that I missed was their game at Kansas, that they were right there the whole way. Interesting road test at TCU actually on Tuesday night, North Dakota State. That might be one worth circling.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's go over to the Sun Belt Conference. And, Stalika, I got to stick with you when you jump to the Sun Belt Conference because I know there's a game you want to talk about that happened involving a team from San Marcos, Texas in this league.
Our Lady of the Lake. But I feel like we need a Chad here to set up the scene right here. Set up the scene for Our Lady of the Lake pulling a sword out of the lake.
Yeah.
The Arthurian legend for anybody watching that didn't get that reference, which I'm guessing is everyone.
Yes. Our Lady of the Lake, non-D1 team, picks up, I believe, with their second all-time non-D1 win. They'd beaten Incarnate Word a couple of years back. I believe while Incarnate Word was still transitional, but they win at Texas State. Rocco, with regard to the rest of the conference, nobody left undefeated even. Coastal Carolina going down, that game we mentioned against Wofford, for example. I've been very disappointed with this league, honestly, so far.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for someone to bust out and get an at-large bid, this is probably not going to be your league. But, you know, I was encouraged by a couple of things we saw tonight. You know, Troy taking care of Samford, a little bit of a surprise. Georgia State getting revenge on Mercer was really good. And last week, you know, a win that looks even better now, Appalachian State got hot at Charlotte. Yes. and won that game. So, you know, there's some potential here. And we've talked about Coastal. Louisiana's played really well so far, I think. So, you know, and UT Arlington's a good program, even though they're 2-4.
I got to call timeout on you here, Rocky. Rocco, I understand the Appalachian State, and I understand also that Tennessee is one of the best teams in the nation. But 79-38.
Saving their legs.
Okay, that must have been it.
They threw in the towel early.
Well, the one shining spot, Georgia State, their only loss to Mercer, a team that they got kind of revenge on the night and looked really good. are they going to be the flag bearers? Like, are they a team that could get up to the 12-13 line and be really dangerous? I think they are. No one else.
I think it's Little Rock still, quite honestly.
You still think it's Little Rock? Okay.
Yeah. Upcoming schedule in the league, David, anything that you're really circling here?
Yes. How about Georgia State's next home game on Friday night against Carver Bible Salesman?
The Carver Bible, this is about their 15th D1 game already. I think they play every single night.
Yeah. All I'm going to say, we all remember Open Bible, one of my favorite stories ever. For those that don't know, and I don't want to, because Carver Bible could be a real college, and maybe they're watching, but Open Bible, you saw them appear on 14 or 15 different schedules, and you're like, how is that possible? Nobody in any league could schedule that many D1 games. It turns out, wasn't it just like a laptop sitting on a, you know,
there was no university yet.
Yeah, there was no university.
but they got together like eight guys to play basketball.
Yeah,
pretty bad.
But I'm also gonna go ahead and highlight Coastal Carolina, because they'll have exhausted their four non D1 games after Alice Lloyd come Friday night.
Yeah.
Let's run into the final conference here, the WAC. And Rocco, I gotta go to you. The story with New Mexico State shut down because of COVID is our transitional team. How about those Trailblazers of Dixie State?
Dixie State, yes. They've been very good. I mean, they beat North Dakota in the opener. They won at Denver in a narrow win on the road last week. And they get Southern Utah, another team we like, tomorrow. That's a really intense rivalry in that part. It is. I think they're
– I know it is. It's just – funny to hear you.
They're like 8 miles apart, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think they're both actually okay. Yeah, it's St. George and Cedar City, but they're both down there in the southern part of the state, and it's a part of the state, if you're familiar, where they would be more prone to allow fans in. So it actually could be a pretty intense atmosphere. I think this Dixie State team had a ton of success in the D2 level. And it shouldn't be that big of a surprise for those familiar with the program that they could make a leap this quickly. Now, again, they beat Denver and North Dakota. Let's not stop the presses yet. But, they're going to give some teams some fits. And in the WAC, you can jump up to, you know, the top five pretty easily if you're decent. So,
yeah.
David, a shout-out to Grand Canyon.
Yes.
Bryce Drew's team there with a win over Nevada.
Yeah, win over Nevada. And again, not a win, but they took Arizona State to the wall. It wasn't just a close game. It was a well-played game. And they had a chance to win. They missed what would have been a game-winning shot at the buzzer. So to go up against a legitimately ranked team and play that well against them, I know that loss really stings, with them being neighbors and kind of feeling like little brother a little bit. But if they can play like that, they're going to win a lot of games.
That was crazy. Did you see the shot? It went in and out.
Yeah.
Lope's next two games allegedly are San Francisco and Colorado. Not certain if they're happening or not, but hopefully they get these games in. SAGU American Indian College game at Dixie State, I believe, is off, though.
Yeah, the
San American Francisco, Indian College making the rounds.
Yeah, the San Francisco-Colorado games are in pretty good shape on the surface. They're both in Vegas at the Vegas bubble, where we've seen some games already. Colorado and Washington are also out there playing this weekend. So Colorado will be out there for a couple games. So good on Grand Canyon to get up there and convince the Dons and Buffaloes to stick around.
On that note, let's run over to our let me pull this down here. Oh, I did not mean to do that. We're trying to get to our top 10 list. So we gotta get the screen back up. So David, fill in for a second while I get the screen back
up. Okay, well, we're trying to get the screen back up, and not under the radar, but on the radar, sort of. Tulane has come back and actually gotten the lead against Memphis.
Okay, that is the wrong show. Okay, we're gonna go to the under the radar top 10 list.
Oh, okay, here we go.
We've got
a lot of honorable mentions this week.
Well, Sleeka voted for 10 teams that nobody else voted for. I think that was the problem. Here are honorable mentions. We have Drake, Belmont, Liberty, Chattanooga, South Dakota State, Wright State, Ohio, Western Carolina, and Mr. Sleeka,
Our Lady of the Lake.
All these teams that are receiving votes but did not make the top 10, teams that we discussed pretty much every one of them tonight during the show. Maybe not right. Ohio so much, but
it is kind of jumbled, like, once you get past number one.
I would agree with you there. But listen, coming to number 10, UAB, undefeated out of Conference USA, making the top 10 list just barely.
Yeah, you will note that they didn't beat anyone in the top 10, or that's honorable mention. But there they are. New Mexico State also have not played.
They have not played. I put them in my top 10 because I think they've got the talent to be there.
They do. I just want to see them play first.
And they shouldn't be punished for what they're going through.
Yeah. Oh, no, we'll reward them as soon as they start playing.
We've got two teams that were tied for seventh. We have Marshall out of Conference USA and Abilene Christian, a little lower than I would have had them, but Abilene Christian out of the Southland there. We spoke a bunch about them. They're coming in tied for seventh. Tied for fifth, we've got Georgia State there out of the Sun Belt and Loyola Chicago, a team that finally started to play some games.
Yeah. No real big wins for them yet, but a real impressive showing against Wisconsin.
Number four, we've got Winthrop coming in.
Love this Winthrop team. Pat Kelsey's got it going there.
And number three, Mercer.
Not a good look tonight, but yeah, despite the loss, still really good.
Yeah, I mean, they did. It is a team that they beat once already, so.
Yeah.
Number two, we've got Furman coming in here. That out of the top, the team that we do all like at the top of this to be the best team in the Southern Conference, right above their conference mate, Mercer. And I don't think it's any surprise. We've had the number one all season so far. Western Kentucky remains the number one under the radar team.
Yeah, and a big game coming up against Alabama, a chance to add another like notable win to an already pretty good profile.
But Mr. Sleeka, let me go to you here. Let's turn to some final thoughts here. Any other thoughts or comments about anything that you've seen in the under-the-radar world?
Well, I think if you look at my tagline, this is where I not just go under the radar but off the radar, because this is normally the time of the year where Taylor University, who is an NAIA school in Indiana, they usually have their silent night game where they will go silent for the first 10 points of the game, and then their students will rush the floor and have a nice little party and festive atmosphere. But for obvious reasons, we cannot do that this year. So we are looking forward to the return of silent night in 2021.
Yes.
Yes, we are. Rocco.
That was very under the radar. Thank you, John. A couple of quick things. First of all, Wednesdays just have way too many over the radar games, and it's incredibly distracting to have that going on during the under the radar show. Can we talk to somebody and get those games rescheduled?
I was watching Hardin Simmons and Abilene Christian. I don't know what you guys were all watching.
Yeah. I got lost. Second thought is, we're starting to get a little taste, especially in the Northeast Conference, of how these doubleheaders are going to go. And we're seeing, by and large, mostly going to be a split. I think a couple of the sweeps we've seen, St. Peter's clearly a better team than Niagara. Winthrop clearly a better team than USC Upstate. But almost all the other ones have been splits. And I think it's just very difficult on back-to-back days, or even a situation where you have a day off in between, after adjustments are made and coaching staff study film, to go out and beat that same team a second time. And the reason I'm bringing that up is, there's just going to be a lot of carnage with that schedule setup. And I don't think you're going to see very many leagues, especially the ones I just mentioned, where the champion has a gaudy, 18-2 record. I think it's going to be more like 14-6 or 13-7. And those sweeps are just going to be unbelievably huge when they happen.
And that probably is going to really hurt chances of these under-the-radar teams getting an at-large bid anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a really good point, Rocco, because it is a lot of carnage, and it is what you've just said. Like, when you play a game and you lose, and you turn around and play again the next day, like, what you need to do and what you need to go over and the adjustments you need to make are fresh in your mind. It's almost like coming out for a second half. you know, where you can make adjustments. So I think you're absolutely right. You're going to see – it's hard to beat somebody twice anyway. It's exceptionally hard to beat them twice in 24 hours.
Exactly. And as a player too, like as a player, if you lose, you're pissed off and you just want to get back out there and play that team again.
Yeah.
If you win, you start to feel a little more confident. You got this. The mentalities go two totally different directions. So
right.
It makes sense that you see these splits.
Yeah,
it does. David, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, there's some really good teams out there. Vermont is one of them, and some of the under-the-radar teams that just haven't gotten the chance to play. And you hope that for their coaches, their players, and their fans, that they're able to get some of these games in. But I don't know how easy that's going to be because, like, once you kind of get in the conference play, there just aren't a lot of open dates. And even if there are, who are you going to play outside of your conference? So – like, you know, the Patriot League, I know they made the decision outside of Army and Navy not to play, but, like, Vermont in particular, like, you just hope that they can get some games in.
You really do. I mean, and that's one of the teams that I was really looking forward to watching all season.
And New Mexico State, another one. And again, like, they are really good. Maybe 10 seed is good. I mean, they're really good, but they haven't played anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they at least played two games, even though they were non-D1 games.
Yeah, non-D1,
But, you know, Vermont, yeah, I mean, I want to see them play anybody. I'd like to see them play non-D1 games, just see them play. But
yeah.
On that note, I do want to thank everybody for having joined us. On behalf of Rocco Miller, you can check him out at bracketeer.org. John Salica, David Griggs, as I mentioned before, if you follow him on Twitter, please don't. Make sure you delete
him.
No, I think we should follow him because in the future we need to have fact checkers dispute his tweets on Wednesdays.
That is very true. All right. You can follow him and you can fact check him and tell him how wrong he is. But I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with both a Hoops HD report and an Under the Radar. And we'll talk to you again real soon.